forces, in our military. If you're here today, I want you to stand up. Please stand up. Please stand up. Yes, give them a hand clap. Thank you, guys. We honor you and respect you. Thank you. Appreciate your service. And it's for guys like you and the ones that died in battle that we're able to be here today and worship in freedom. And everybody said amen, amen to that. And we need to teach our children and our grandchildren about respect for God and country. And everybody said amen. Amen. Okay. We're going to get right into this today. And this is, you see and I've got it on PowerPoint for you, so I'm going to show you the scriptures. But if you have your Bibles, and I encourage you to bring your Bibles to church, or now we have the smartphones and all that, I want you to, and I always like to have you turn to at least two passages of scripture, just because I think it's good for you to learn the Bible and where things are at. I remember whenever, and I still do, there's times I still do, guys, and I've been a pastor for a long time now. I can't believe I've been in pastoral ministry for 25 years, but you can still use the table of contents, amen. I still use the table of comments too. The table of contents to find out where you're at. But we're going to go to Judges chapter 6. That's where we're going to start at. And then we're going to end up in Romans chapter 8. So I always like to give you an Old Testament and a New Testament scripture if I can to turn to. But Judges chapter 6 and Romans chapter 8 is where we'll end up today. And the title of this message is Fight for Your Harvest. So I want you to turn to somebody, because this is going to be audience participation. I want you to turn to somebody, if you're sitting by somebody, and say, fight for your harvest.
Fight for your harvest.
And the Lord began to drop this into my spirit 2 weeks ago, whenever we, last Sunday, if you weren't here, we had Amy Downey was here, and she did a wonderful job bringing a message about her ministry and the Jewish ministry. But God began to show me something that was going on. I've talked to several of you in here. Some of them are not here today because they're gone with family on Memorial Day weekend. But I have been your pastor. I've talked to several of you that are going through hard seasons. Amen. How many of you are going through hard seasons? A hard season. And you feel like it's been seasons. And you feel like you've got to the point where, God, when is this going to let up? God, when is this going to stop? And so I really feel like, and this is something that's been going on in my own personal life as well, I feel like that you're here today by divine appointment. You didn't just show up to come to church. And I think that every time you come to church, if you're a regular churchgoer, you ought to come expecting every time to hear a word from God. But I really believe that God has given me a word, that there's going to be something in this today that you're going to be able to take and apply to your life today that's going to help you in this season. Amen. So be tuned into the Holy Spirit to find out what that is. So I've already asked you, are you going through a hard season right now? And many of you lifted your hands. And here's what's happening. And I noticed this started happening to me. It's leaving you cynical towards your life, the church, and God's goodness. Oh, it's getting quiet in here now. Dusty's back here. Oh, me. Not amen, but oh, me. And some of you are going through multiple hard things during this season. I'm talking, it's not just one hard thing. It's been one thing right after the other. And so your faith can be summed up like this right now. This is where you came into church today. You're hoping for the best, but expecting the worst.
Yep.
Anybody there? You're trying to get your faith above it, and you're saying, man, I'm hoping for the best, but I'm expecting the worst. And here's what I want to tell you about expectation. You might want to write this down or take mental note of it. Expectation is the fruit of faith. Expectation is the fruit of faith. In other words, you believe and therefore empower, you either empower constructive outcomes or you empower destructive outcomes. And so a lot of times we've been going, when you get in a hard season and you just keep, boom, boom, you're banging your head against the wall and it's just one hard thing after another, what happens is the enemy gets up here on your shoulder and starts lying to you and whispering in your ear about, it's not going to get any better. And finally, to the point where you start believing that lie, because he's the master of deception and the master of lying, and you finally get to the point where I'm a Christian, but I start saying, by faith, my life sucks. That's what you start declaring over your life. I mean, by faith, you're declaring it. And so the enemy has just took you hook, line, and sinker, because that's what he wants you to do. He's wanting those thoughts to develop into a mindset, and then you start giving voice to it. And so you're speaking that expectation over your life, and you're doing it by faith. By faith, my life sucks. Anybody ever been there? Oh, my gosh. I have been there, done that, got the T-shirt and the cap, and I'm burning them today. But here's the deal. The challenge is that expectation is actually the manifestation of faith, and you will receive what you believe. Therefore, life gets harder when you think it will, but it gets easier when you expect it to be. Amen. So it's all how you look at it. It's all about perspective. It's all about mindset. And so what we're going to do today, we're going to look at someone in the Bible that God showed me, somebody in the Bible who was struggling to keep his head above the water, so to speak, or to keep the right mindset. And he was actually, in this story, you're going to see that he was fighting for his harvest. And that's where this title came from. And his name is Gideon. And so if I could give you I'm going to go ahead and give you my sermon in a sentence today, okay? I know many of you have lifted your hands that you're going through a hard season, but here's what I want to tell you. God is attracted to people that fight for their harvest. I'm going to say that again. God is attracted to people who will fight for their harvest. And so I'm going to give you a background of this story before we get into it. But in Judges chapter 6 and 7, the background of this story about Gideon was the Midianites had got control of the economy of Israel, and they wreaked havoc on their culture and on their society, the Midianites. And they would come, these Midianites would come every harvest time to steal their harvest. These guys would labor in the fields, work hard, have a harvest, and the Midianites would come in and steal it. Gideon had taken his wheat harvest and he was hiding low down in a wine press, and that was used to transition grapes into juice to make wine. And he decided, I'm hiding from the Midianites. This guy was very creative in what he did. He said, they're not going to look for me in a wine press, but I'm going to hide in that wine press, and I'm going to sift the chaff, and I'm going to gather my harvest. I'm going to have a harvest. I'm finding a way, and I'm fighting for my harvest. So that's where Gideon was at. Is everybody with me? All right, so let's go to Judges chapter 6, and we're going to start in verse 11 and read down through verse 16. It says, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. And when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So that was the scripture I sent out today. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior, and to fight for your harvest. And I want you to notice something. Gideon was being creative and trying to harvest his wheat. And who was with him? The Lord was with him. The Lord is with you wherever you're at. And God is actually attracted to people that will fight for their harvest. He was attracted to Gideon. Okay. Here's verse 13. I'll give you the redneck version. What Gideon replied was, do what? No, he said, I even thought about titling this message, Pardon Me, Lord, but because you'll see this many times in here. But Gideon goes, pardon me, my Lord. Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, all right, now I want you to think about this. Gideon he's an Israelite. He's a Jewish boy. He's a Jewish man. He's actually in there trying to gather his harvest for him and for his family, to feed his family. And he has, this is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I want you to notice these two questions he asked. So while he's in there threshing wheat, these are the questions that's going through his mind. And if you're trying to fight for your harvest, you ask these same questions as well. And he says, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Have you ever asked God, why is all this crap happening? All right. Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? okay? He's like, where's all these miracles at, God, and all these signs and wonders at? I'm not seeing them. But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. And the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength that you have. Notice he didn't listen to his complaining. Have you ever noticed that about the Lord? He never listens to your complaining, never answers those questions. He just told him to go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. He's basically saying, well, let's do something about it, Gideon. And he says, am I not sending you? And again, do what? He goes, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you. Now, why is this? There's those two questions. Why is this happening? And then he was asking God, where are you at? And I want you to notice something there in verse 15 where he says, pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. And the Lord answered, I will be with you. I've noticed something about it in my own life and also in Gideon's life when I was studying this, that when you're going through a hard season, what manifests in your life are two things, insecurities and identity issues. Those are the two things that manifest. And those were the two things that were manifesting in Gideon's life. And God just had to tell him, look, bud, I am with you. I am with you. But there was insecurities manifesting and there was identity issues. Basically, he was saying, and that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to not believe that you're a son or daughter of the Most High God because of all this stuff that's happening to you. But you are a son and daughter of the Most High God. And you've got to remind yourself of that, and you've got to remind the enemy of that as well. Amen? Amen. Is everybody learning something today?
Yes.
Okay. I have been going through this. I'm just going to tell off on myself. I know many of you raised your hands in here. I had been going through this so much that I was discouraged. I was disillusioned. I was questioning my call. I was like, do I even want to be a pastor anymore? I was going through all of this kind of stuff. And I was right there with Gideon. Even though I know how God called, I had to remind myself how God called me. All those things were going on inside of me. And I had a good friend call me here just recently, and he was praying for me, and he told me two things. And he had no idea what I was going through. Don't you love when God shows up? Just like he showed up with Gideon, showed up at the right time, at the right place. And so all this inner turmoil is going on in me, and I'm fighting for this, fighting for my harvest. And he tells me two things, and he says, Mark, the Lord wanted me to call you and tell you two things today. Number one, don't lose who you are. And that was what the enemy was trying to steal from me. And I'm sharing this with you because I believe this is going to minister to some people that are here today and those that are watching by Church's Aid and listening by radio as well, because this wasn't just for me, it's for you too. He said, number one, don't lose who you are. You're a child of God. You're a son of God. And number two, under that number one, you have been called. You are called. You are a pastor. Be a pastor. That's who you are. That's what God called me. And then number two, he said, guard yourself and your heart. Because that's when those are vulnerable times when the enemy likes to come in and deceive you and get you off track. So how many of you are taking notes? I see some of you got your notes out. Pastor Mark's going to give you eight things today. Okay. Yeah, I'll tell you it's like. We will get out of here very quickly, I promise you. If I spend 1 minute on each one, that's 8 minutes to this message, but maybe 2 or 3 minutes that I'll spend on each one. Now, but I just believe these are eight ways to not get cynical in hard seasons of life. I feel like this is a great teaching that's going to help you in your walk with God. And here's number one. And some of you are going to be, they're very elementary, but we need to be reminded of these things. All right, number one, there's eight ways to get to not get cynical in hard seasons of life. And here's number one. Look for Jesus in the midst of your troubles. He tends to hang out in hard places. The Lord was with Gideon in that wine press when he was fighting for his harvest. God was there with him. Gideon was alone. That's very key. Even though Gideon was alone, God was there with him. You're never alone, even when you feel like it. Look at somebody and say, you're never alone. Jesus said in John 16:33, he says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble. I had to remind my dad of this. Me and him were reminding each other, you know, God, yeah, Jesus took away, he died for us, it is finished, but we still live in a fallen world and we're going to go through junk. And it says in the Bible that it rains on the just and on the unjust. But we have hope that they don't have, and we need to minister that hope to them. And so we need to hang on to that hope. And he said, Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And we've got to remind ourselves of that, all right? That's number one. Look for Jesus in the midst of your troubles. He tends to hang out in hard places. Here's number two. Remember God's past miracles and works in your life. Remember, that's one of the questions he asked. God, where are you at? You know, where's this God that I hear my ancestors talking about and my grandpa and my grandma talking about that did all these wonderful things in Egypt for him and all these signs and wonders and miracles? And here we are, you know, I'm having to just fight for my harvest down here in this wine press, and you're not doing anything about it. And that was what all was going on in Gideon's mind. And this is Psalm 77, verse 11, says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I'll remember your miracles of long ago. That's why we have the Word of God to remind us of the God that we serve. But there's also God's doing things in your life that you need to remember. Some of you, if you have a hard time remembering, you need to journal it. Write it down so you can go back and remind yourself of answered prayers and God did this and God did that in my life. You need to do that. I'll never forget, here just recently I began to think that one of the things that we teach around here is about tithing and giving. And here recently I was like, God, I don't think this is working anymore. How many of you ever thought that? Okay, some of you aren't being honest. I can already tell. Some of you aren't. And I'm like, I don't think this is working anymore. And I've been tithing, and God, where's my harvest and all this? And God reminded me of this. Remember God's past miracles and work in your life. Yes. And I had to realize how greedy I was getting with God, number one, and that, guys, I've been saved from death, hell, and the grave. If God never does anything else for me, and he's not, I mean, God is going to bless us and all that, but if that's it, then what's 10%, you know, my tithe? I'm saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And so, but I was having a little pity party, and because I was like, God, we're tithing, and God, we need you to show up in our finances, and God. And God reminded me, he said, Mark, remember when we had this discussion a long time ago? And he said, remember when you started tithing, you and Jada, and the conversation you had when you were first married and you didn't even have a child yet? And can we do this? Can we afford this? And I remember her and I sitting down and figuring up what 10% was of what her and I made, and was like, oh my gosh, that's enough for two bills in our household, God. And you're saying you're going to show up? And I'll never forget it. There was a Sunday that we were taught this, like we have taught here, and this principle in God's word, it's a principle of obedience. It's not a principle of heaven or it's not a heaven or hell issue. It's just a principle of obedience and walking in the blessings of God in this life and walking in the abundant life. And so we decided we're going to do it. And I remember going to church that Sunday, and I was like, I don't know how this works, God, because this is not making sense on paper at all, because I got bills to pay, but we're going to obey. And so Jade and I, our first tithe check went in. It was on a Sunday. Monday at that particular time, I was working at a bank in Elk City, and I had somebody come in my office, a lady that we went to church with that didn't really know, at that time, didn't really know us that well. And she came in my office, and she had this card, and it said Mark and Jada on it, and she handed it to me, and she said, the Lord, I was up praying this morning, and the Lord put you and Jada on my heart, and he told me to give you this. And I said, oh, and I was like, okay, thank you. You know, this is the first time anything like this had ever happened. I was like, ooh, this is weird. You know, God spoke to you about me. What did he tell you? You know, that kind of thing. And so I grabbed this card and opened the card up, and you know, just said something about how much God loves you and Jada, and so proud of you, and blah blah blah. And then it said, and God told me to give you this check. Well, this check was like $10 more than what our tithe check was. And I was like, I was sitting in my office going, there is a God. This is amazing. You know, God heard my cry, and God reminded Mark, go back and remember that story. Remember what I did then. And I'm still doing it today, but I'm doing it in other ways. Not just, I knew I needed to prove myself to you that way, but just keep doing it. Keep on doing it. Because God's blessing me, not just spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, relationally. I want all those kind of blessings. I want the whole package. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so that's number two. Number three, got to remember those old stories. Remember God's past miracles and works in your life, even if they were a long time ago. But remember the ones he just did as well. Sometimes we start taking things for granted. Number three, cultivate thankfulness in your heart no matter how you feel. That's easier said than done. I know that Gideon wasn't feeling like, you know, gathering the harvest, and he was fighting for it, but he was doing all that by faith, fighting for his harvest by faith. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18 is an awesome scripture. It says, give thanks in all circumstances, for the good and the bad and the ugly, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, to be thankful. And so what I want to tell you is that make sure your feelings are following your faith and not the other way around. Because there's going to be times when you don't feel it. You don't feel the faith. You don't feel all that. Make sure feelings are following your faith. Look at somebody and say, do you feel me? All right. No touching. All right. No touching in church. All right. Number four. Number four is, this is good, avoid the misery loves company syndrome by disciplining yourself to hang around happy people when you don't feel like it. As soon as something bad happens to you, the first thing you want to call up is, you know, one of your friends and say, girl, do you know what just happened to me? And then you're just rehearsing it, cursing it, you know, rehearsing it and all that kind of stuff. And you're still under the curse of whatever you're going through. And I've done it, guys. I'm going to tell off myself. I've done it too. You know, misery loves company. Sometimes I love going to pastors' meetings just because I can hear all the discouraging stories that they have, and I'm like, I'm encouraged. I'm not going through what you're going through, you know, as a pastor. But we do that. It's human nature. It's actually the Adamic nature of misery loves company. Get around good, faith-filled people that's going to be happy and speak faith-filled words over you, even when you don't feel like it. There's been times Jada will start telling me stuff about what the word says, and well, Mark, the word says, I'm like, I really don't want to hear what the word says right now. And I've done that. I mean, have you ever done that?
Yeah.
I was like, don't preach to me. Let me be miserable right now. Just let me just wallow in my mud for a little bit. And I have done that before. And this is 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And it does it all the time. And this was something that I saw in Gideon. Because Gideon was harvesting his wheat alone. He didn't want any bad company around. And while he was alone, he wasn't. God was with him. So, you know, whenever you're in some of you might say, well, I don't have any happy people around me, and everybody around me is just as miserable as I am or more miserable. And if that's the case, be alone. Because when you're alone, God is with you. And he's the happy person that's going to try to get you back into that right spot. All right? So avoid the misery loves company. Everybody learning something? Because we're halfway through. Okay, here's number five. Number five, and I did this morning. Pray in the Spirit because the Bible says you edify yourself when you do. When you pray in the Spirit, it's like charging your battery. Okay, and that's Jude 1, verse 20 says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit. We believe in the full gospel around here. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's a whole other teaching. You need to read the book of Acts. But here's the deal. I don't get up here on a Sunday morning and do it in front of everybody. And the reason why I don't is because that's my private prayer language. That's my private time with the Lord, and that's to do that right there to edify myself. If I got up here and started doing it in front of all y'all, like, get up and leave. Like, this is crazy. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand this. And so we don't do that here. Amen? That's the reason why. But we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit in your life. And that's a whole nother teaching, but I encourage you to read the book of Acts, because there are two baptisms. There's a water baptism and there's a baptism in the Holy Spirit. So pray in the Spirit, because the Bible says you edify yourself. That means you encourage yourself when you do that. You encourage yourself. And golly, I need encouragement. And who else better to encourage you than the Holy Spirit? Okay, so that's number five. Number six, sometimes we need to take a mental vacation, and that means give yourself permission to take a break each day from thinking about your problems. You can't just sit around thinking about all the issues that are going on and the circumstances. You've got to take a break each day and cultivate some happy thoughts. And it's a learned behavior. You've got to do that. And one of the best scriptures that I know of is one the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:8. He said, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Don't think about the bad stuff. Think about the good things. And you need to find, and not, you know, I'm not talking, you know, some people when they think about a mental vacation, they think about, I just need to go sit out on the porch and, you know, like that. I'm not saying that. I'm saying find a hobby, an interest, something that you like doing. It might be fishing, hunting, whatever it may be. Maybe some little hobby that you like, gardening or whatever. For me, I like, one of the things that I enjoy doing is playing golf. And so I go out and play golf, and I can take my frustrations out on a golf ball and lose a lot of them and hit some good ones and all that kind of thing. But that's, I got to tell you one story, a golf story. Can I tell you a golf story real quick? We're on number six. We're almost done. And Cameron knows which one I'm fixing to say. But we were on a family vacation, and this is my first time around Cameron. He came on our vacation with us so we could get to know him. And so we're on vacation. And we're having a good time, and we decided we're going to go play golf one day. So we go play golf. And I get up to, we're on this, you know, a nice golf course, and there's a lot of, you know, people that have their club memberships there and stuff. So there was an older gentleman, we didn't see him, but he wasn't right behind us the whole time, but he must have lived there on the golf course. Well, he jumps onto the golf course, you know, in his golf cart, because he's a member, and he all of a sudden comes up right behind us. Well, we're about to tee off. And we're on a hole that's, right at 300 yards to the green. And and I'm just going to say this, if I can hit a good tee shot, I can almost, I mean, a 300-yard shot is a long shot, all right? The pros get up 340, 350 in there. And so I'm thinking, man, we might drive the green. And we could tell that there was somebody up on the green, you know, still putting and all that. So we were waiting for them to get off the green because of that reasoning that I had going on in my mind. I already had my ball teed up and everything, and there's this older man pulled up behind us, and I didn't really hear him until he said this. He goes, "What in the blank are you doing?" And I was like, "Oh my gosh." And I turned around and was like, "Excuse me?" And he was like, "Hurry it up, tee off." You know, like that's what he was doing. I said, "Well, there's some people up there on the green right now." And he goes, "Oh my gosh, you're not going to hit them." And I said, "Well, I might," like that. And I mean, I started feeling Tabasco sauce start rising up inside of me. And I'm about to lose my salvation out here on the golf course. And I'm trying to keep it together, because I'm like, okay, I've got Cameron with me. He's a pastor's son. I don't really know how saved he is. that kind of stuff. And so it was so funny, because Cameron was standing right over here. And Cameron was quiet the whole time. You know, and I was kind of thinking, what's he thinking? You know, what's Cameron thinking about this? Because, I was getting mad. And this old man was just going off on us. So I step up to my ball, and I get ready, to tee off. And I said, "Lord," I just was like this. I said, "Lord, help me to hit this with everything I got." And Cameron's standing right here, and Cameron goes, "Amen." And I did. God is my witness, and Cameron's my witness. God let me hit the best tee shot I hit all day. And I mean, that thing took off towards the green. And I turned around and looked at that old man. I said, "I think I about got there." And he just went and got in his golf cart, you know. Oh, I loved that day. That was a great day. It's always a great day when God helps you to get back at somebody, isn't it? Oh, Lord, got to get back. That's not the right mindset. Let's get back to the right mindset. Okay. So here's, take a mental vacation, and that's where I take mine's out on the golf course. God always meets me on the golf course. All right, here's number 7. Remember, the Bible says it came to pass. In other words, it came so it could pass. And whatever season you're in right now, and I know many of you raised your hands that you're in a hard season, I want to encourage you today, this season will end. It will. And the book of Ecclesiastes says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. And what you need to do during these hard seasons, instead of crying and moaning and complaining like I have done on several occasions, is, you know, ask the Lord, Lord, teach me what I need to know during this season. And I can already tell you, those two things I told you earlier about Gideon, the things that God was showing me in this hard season that I'm in, Mark, there's still some insecurities in you that I'm rooting out. And number 2 is you still have some identity issues that we need to deal with. Those two things is, and that may be you. I don't know, but ask the Holy Spirit and he'll show you. Okay, here's number 8. Number 8, last one. Remind yourself that everything works out for the good in the end. So if it isn't good, it isn't the end. Amen. If it isn't good, it isn't the end, because Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And everybody said, amen. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I just want to encourage you to keep fighting for your harvest today. And I pray that these 8 things are going to help you do that. And whatever the Holy Spirit ministered to you during that time, take that to heart, use that, start working on it today, discipline yourself, getting that mindset, whatever it is, and I promise you, and just start asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, I'm not going to complain, I'm not going to murmur, but I want you to show, and God knows we're going to ask those questions just like Gideon did, and go ahead and ask those questions, but then let the Holy Spirit minister to you and show you what he's wanting to teach you and show you during this time. Because I promise you, what the Holy Spirit's working on is your character, is your character, is your character. And so that's what the Lord is after, your heart and your character. But if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I do this every Sunday because we have people that are watching on Church's Aid on the internet. We have people that are going to be listening to this on the radio as well. And I want to lead you in a prayer that the Bible says is the prayer of salvation, because the Bible says in Romans 10, the Apostle Paul said through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he said, you've got to confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer of salvation, and even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And you rose again on the 3rd day. Please forgive me of my sins. And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said amen. Amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, I want you to get with me, because the next thing that you need to do is follow the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that next Sunday. Now what I want you to do is I want everyone to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you. I believe in the power of blessing. And everybody said amen. Amen. Okay, I'm going to speak this blessing over everyone here and my family that's here today. Okay. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. And from this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want you to hug somebody's neck and tell them, fight for your harvest. Keep fighting for your harvest. Love you guys. Have a blessed Memorial Day weekend. Have a great weekend. Have a great day today with your families. Love you guys. God bless you. Keep fighting for your harvest. Amen.